This current sermon series we're in is based on BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, Five Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World by Dave Ferguson and John Ferguson, his brother. I did give you a sheet. You may pick that up. It's on the way out if you haven't got that yet. It kind of highlights those, B-L-E-S-S, tells you a little bit more about that. In the chapter on listening like Jesus, he tells a story of a missionary group going to India one day. They came to a village. Actually, it was a pretty big village. It was 20,000 people inhabited this village in India. Very poor area. Very needy. As they walked around and talked with the people and prayed and thinking about how they could minister to the local people there in India in this village, they noticed that there wasn't really a good education program or way to educate the young kids in this area. So they thought, oh, we could build a new school and get them some really good education. They also noticed that there wasn't good access to food, and so we could teach them how to farm and build them a food pantry where there's food, where people could gather for food and get plenty of food. There were other things that they noticed that they could do. Well, we can do this and this and this for you. They went to the local people and said, we can bless you this way. We can do this for you. And they said, well, that would be good, but we just want a mailbox. They were kind of, wait a minute, we can build you a school, teach you how to farm and get clothing and all that. We can help you with these, build you a church where you could come to worship and find out more about God and get closer to God. We can do all that for you. And you want a mailbox? Yeah, we would really like just a mailbox. And here's the reason. In India, in this particular area specifically, if you're a village and you're not recognized as a village with a zip code, you don't qualify for help from the government. You're not recognized. You have no identity. So the people in that village, 20,000 people, wanted a mailbox because that they could get a zip code, and if they had a zip code, they could get outside help from the government and could flourish. So the people were a little bit, the missionaries there, well, okay, we'll do what we can to get you a mail. A two-year process. Not to get the mailbox, but to get that zip code tied into the mailbox so that they could get some help from the government and have an identity. The missionaries listened for their need. They wanted to bless them with all this other stuff, but yet they listened to what they really needed, and it was a mailbox. Jesus listened often in his ministry. And this is, we're going to see today in Luke 18. If you have your Bibles, you can join me there, 35 through 43. It's in your bulletins, also in the Pew Bible. If you have your own Bible, join me there. Luke 18, beginning verse 35. See how he listened in this true story. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Father, thank you for your word today to us. Help us to understand a little bit about you, Jesus, on that road, in and out of Jericho that day. Oh, through all the noise of that bustling city, you heard one man's cry. And by hearing, you were able to help. Help us to understand more about that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not a very good listener. I struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes I hear, but I don't really listen. Sometimes I listen, but I don't really hear. Sometimes I need assistance with hearing, according to my girls, like maybe going to the hearing doctor. What do you call those people? Audiologists? And maybe test my hearing because I think I miss some things here and there. Now, that's different than not listening. There might be some problem with your hearing, right? Your hard of hearing. Sometimes I think I am, what's it called when you're, a selective hearer, listener. I think men maybe struggle more with that than ladies do. You think, Dean? Yeah? Mark says, not at all. Let's ask your wife. So we're talking about listening and hearing today. Author Mark Twain, maybe you've heard of him. He said this. You've probably heard this before. If we're supposed to talk more than we listen, we would have two tongues and one ear. Maybe that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. You ever been in a situation, think about this for a moment, this morning, where you're talking to someone and you've wondered, I don't know if anyone is really listening to me. You know, you're sharing with them, you're talking with them. I don't think they're really listening to me. Is anyone really listening to me? Is anyone paying attention to what I'm saying? There's a popular story by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, president. And I think it's true. I think I've heard this before. Maybe you've heard it. You know how you have receiving lines? And the president's at the end of the receiving line with his wife, and there people are going through, dignitaries and politicians, congressmen, and they're shaking hands. They're very polite. And Franklin decided to play a trick on him one day. So when they're coming through the line and he's shaking hands, he didn't say it to everybody, but he said it to a number of them. He said, I killed my grandmother this morning. Oh, God bless you. Oh, good to meet you. Oh, yeah. And a couple more people come through and he goes, oh, I killed my grandmother this morning. Oh, wow, that was so nice. Good to meet you, President. Oh, I was there. So going through, it comes to the last guy. Pretty much the last guy in the line, and as the story goes, the guy was totally caught off guard because he heard him. I'm going to kill my grandmother this morning. Oh, well, she probably deserved it. So he heard. He actually listened. Not everybody. Just really an interesting lesson on the importance and the value of listening. If we're all honest here this morning, if I'm honest, if you're honest, we have some work to do in this category. Would you agree to that at least? I know I do. Brother James helps us here. Half-brother of Jesus, he says this, my dear brothers and sisters, Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. One of the things that stood out about Jesus was not only his ability to listen to people, but his willingness to listen to people. He saw people. He listened to them. And he heard them. An encounter with Jesus was something that was not only life-giving, but for them, it was life-changing, often transformational when they interacted with Jesus and when he'd stop what he was doing and took the time to actually listen to a person. When you think about this, this is a powerful thing. Listening to someone, actually hearing them. So today I believe Jesus is inviting us to see that one of the most impactful ways that we can love people and share God's good gifts with them is through our listening. I mean, how many times are you in a conversation with somebody and you're just kind of like, yeah, sure. It's like you're looking right through them. I just read this morning. It's like you're listening, but your motive is, oh, I wish they would get done with what they're saying so that I can say something. Huh? I do that. Okay, I'm listening. Yeah. I might even be nodding. Might even be facing them. When I taught a class in physical education and health, it was called Quest, the class, I taught a lesson on active listening. Active listening means you're actually paying attention to someone. I taught middle schoolers. I said, when you're listening to someone, you're actually facing them. I'll do this. Rhonda points it out. Thankfully, I'm not looking at them. I'm looking down, I'm looking up, I'm looking over here. Oh, okay. I'll come back once in a while, but I don't look at them in the face. What's up with that? Do I care about what they have to say? Not really. I heard of a story of a husband who was trying to prove to his wife that women talk more than men. Maybe you've heard this. Have you heard this? Women talk more than men. It's proven. There's a study. No, it's right. It says men use approximately 15,000 words per day. I think I'm 1,000. 15,000. Ladies are at 30,000. Double. I'm getting some nods here. And his wife calmly reminded him that the reason that women use twice as many words as men in a day is because women have to repeat everything they say. That's true. We're talking truth here this morning. This is coming home to us, especially us men. To which her husband replied, "What?" Case in point. So, you know, we live in a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook kind of world, and it's when you're posting and interacting on those platforms of social media platforms, it's basically this: look at me. Pay attention to me. Listen to what I have to say. Kind of world. So we struggle to listen to other people. We can also struggle to listen to the voice of God, can't we? What's he saying to us? Is he speaking? Yes. What's he saying? The writer to Hebrews said this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. He's spoken to us by His Son, Jesus. We find ourselves in the same position as the crowds in this text, even Jesus' disciples. To people in our lives, we dismiss people because, well, we're busy. We're focused. I don't have time to listen. I have things to do, places to be. I want to speak before, after you. I want to speak now. It's not like we're trying to be purposely rude to people, but we're in a hurry. John Mark Comer, pastor, an author, was contemplating that one day. And a mentor said something to him. I wrote it down here. That was the question nagging him, was who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? And it was nagging him because outwardly, Pastor John appeared successful and okay, but inwardly, things weren't pretty for him. So he turned to a trusted mentor for guidance and heard these words. Here's what the mentor told John that day. He said, giving him some advice, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. Changed his life, Pastor John. In fact, he wrote a book on this topic. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. In fact, we studied it in Sunday school. It wasn't the response he expected, but it was and continues to be the answer he needs. Too often we treat the symptoms of toxicity in our modern world instead of trying to pinpoint the cause. A growing number of voices are pointing at hurry or business or busyness as a root of much evil. Is that true in your life? Are you too hurried? We don't have time for interruption. We have no time for inconveniences, not from other people, sometimes not even from God. But one of the things that we see in the life of Jesus, we see in our text for today, we see it all over God's Word, that regarding the importance and the value of listening, we see Jesus stop. Take the time to listen. We see the reality of God listening to us and the foolishness of the ways that we sometimes speak before we listen. Do we do that? Do we sometimes speak before we listen? Proverbs 18. To answer before listening is folly and shame. Proverbs 18. To answer before listening is folly and shame. Again in James 1 we read, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. I know that it's in the context of anger, but it still relates to our bent to speak before we listen. That's my bent. Be quick to listen. Listen first, speak second. We all struggle with that. If we're honest, if I'm honest, if we're all honest together, we all need help in this area. But here's the thing. We not only struggle to listen, but we can also struggle to be heard. That's true as well. Perhaps there are times when you feel like the blind man in the story. You're calling out. You're trying to get people's attention. You're trying to get others to notice you, and for all the right reasons. You're trying to get people to see you, to really see you. You're asking people for help, and no one's stopping to listen to you. Yeah, I feel that from other people. There are times when I don't feel like God hears me. I feel like I'm talking to Him, I'm praying, I'm crying out to Him, and it's like, where is He? Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt that way before? The The crowd said to that man that day, "Shh, be quiet. Don't bother the master. He's busy. He's on mission." They're the same people that when Jesus said, "Bring him to me," brought him to him. To be heard is to be known. And to be known is to experience or feel loved. There's a quote from David Augsburger in his book, "Caring Enough to Hear and to Be Heard." Being heard is as close to being loved. That for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. To be heard is to be known. And to be known is to feel loved. Therefore, to be unheard is to be unknown, which can make you feel unloved. We've all been there. But the good news for us today, there's good news, is we have someone who hears us and listens to us. Guaranteed. He's not too busy. He's not hurried. He'll take the time. Any time that you need him, you can cry out to him. Anytime. Because he's there. That's the good news. We have someone who knows us, truly knows us, and we have someone who loves us, truly loves us. And of course, this takes us back to Luke 18 in our text for this morning. We think about the context of Luke 18, of what Jesus was walking into or walking through or attempting to walk through as he approached Jericho. I mean, Jericho, Jericho was a bustling city. There was a lot of people, thousands of people there, a bustling city, selling and doing stuff and sacrificing stuff and worshiping God. And Jesus and his disciples are coming into the city or coming out of the city. Not quite sure which one it was, because there's a couple of different things that happened in that area. But it was busy. It's a lot of things going on. It's a busy time of year. It's leading up to the Passover. Passover soon to be there. It's leading up, and they're getting ready for Passover. Jesus is not just walking through a busy city. He had a lot on his mind. There's a lot of things. He was very close to the cross going through Jericho that day. This is toward the end of his life. He's busy. His mind is set. And of course, if you're Jesus, you're used to a lot of people wanting to be around you. They had heard him. They had seen his miracles. And so they wanted to gather. There's lots of people that wanted to see him. Maybe you're used to a lot of people asking you questions. You're used to a lot of people needing you all the time. And what do we see? What do we hear? In the midst of the bustling and the loud noises and the voices and the donkeys bellowing, what do we hear? We hear a man's voice. Jesus hears a man's voice. With all that noise, Jesus hears one man out of thousands. And it hits him. Jesus pauses. Hey, takes the time to do what no one else did or would do. He took the time to listen, to that man. The crowd was telling this guy, pipe down, keep quiet. But Jesus stops. And he listens. And he responds. It wasn't a hurried listen. It wasn't a quick listen. As if Jesus was saying, okay, I know you have a problem, but I've got stuff to do. Wasn't that at all. No. He took the time to go deep. And Jesus has a way of doing that in our lives as well. Jesus has a way of doing that in our lives as well. He wants to go deep, and he wants to take the time, and he wants to respond to what you need. And he's there. And he hears you. And he knows you. You're known by him and you're loved by him. 2007. In 2007, 18 years ago, a well-renowned violinist, Joshua Bell, stood in a Washington, D.C. subway station. Dressed like an ordinary street musician, he pulled out his $3.5 million Stradivarius violin, played some of the most beautiful classical music ever written. There were over 1,000 people that walked by during his 45-minute performance. Only a handful stopped to listen. Most were too busy. On their phones, rushing to work, distracted. They had no idea they were in the presence of greatness. 3 days earlier, had sold out a concert hall in Boston where people paid hundreds of dollars per ticket to hear him play. But in the subway, nearly everyone missed the beauty because they weren't listening. Jesus was never too busy to stop and listen. Never. He listened with his full attention to the woman at the well, to blind Bartimaeus, even to the unspoken heartache of those around him. Unlike the people rushing through the subway, Jesus tuned in to the quiet needs of people the world passed by. When we listen like Jesus, we slow down. We notice. We hear not just words, but hearts. If you're a follower of Christ, you have been given an opportunity to love people around you. And one of the ways that you and I get to do that is through our listening. You ever thought about this? There have been people placed in your life that God has given you to listen to so that they can be heard, so that they can feel known and loved by God and by you. It's powerful. So this morning, I wonder who in your life needs to be heard. Who in your life needs to feel known? Who in your life needs to be loved? More specifically, to know the love of Jesus for them, through you. Dallas Willard has this amazing quote. He says, "The first act of love is always the giving of attention." The first act of love is always giving of attention. We see that in and through Jesus to you and to me, to anyone he comes in contact with, the love of God. He made the first move to come to our level so that for those of you needing to know that you are heard today, he hears you. Okay? If you're needing to hear that today, hear it. He hears you. And he listens. This is from Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. He hears us, and he invites us to take the time to listen.